If you would turn to Revelation, the 7th chapter, we will be reading verses 9 through 17. We will finish up chapter 7 today. From there, I'll give you a little overview of what's happening. We will then go into the book of Daniel for a while. It's imperative that we understand how God has laid out for us what this end time is going to look like. He does have a calendar. He does have a means in which for us to look at things in a way and understand where we are in the scope of human history in time and space. And so we will spend several weeks in Daniel, and then we will pick up going back into chapter 8 and the breaking of the seventh seal, which will then lead us into the judgments of the trumpets, which is not going to be fun for everyone on the earth. Amen? With that, Ed, would you lead us? Lord, I have your word, and I know it's true.
I have everything you say I have.
I have everything you say I have.
I am everything you say I am.
I am everything you say I am.
And I can do everything you say I can do.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Revelation 7, starting in verse 9, says, "And after this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation, from every tribe, from every people, and from every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.'" I'm not going to shout that, because I'm not. "And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" And we have a song that we used to sing based on that. And I'll go through the archives and try to find it, and we will teach it to you, because it is good. It is the song of the saints. "And then one of the 24 elders asked me, 'Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know, you are the one who knows.' Then he said to me, 'These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb is on the throne, will be their shepherd. And he will lead them to springs of life, giving water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" We have seen so far that in Revelation, that the judgment of God starts in the house of God. And we saw that through chapters 1, 2, and 3, that he had examined the churches, of which there is a little of each one of those churches today, that we must be honest and believe that the truth of it is that God is examining his church today. Then we went from there, we saw that the seals were being broken after the great worship that was taking place in chapter 4. And that was all of heaven worshiping the Lamb. Christ had finally returned to heaven, and there was tremendous worship going on. He took the title deed of earth from the Father, and he began to open up the seals. And every seal began to start some sort of devastation upon the earth, until which we have gone through the first four seals was the four horsemen and what they have done and what they will do. Seals 5 and 6 had to deal with tremendous upheavals in the world system, continental plates moving, tremendous earthquakes and volcanic activity going on. And when the sixth seal was broken, cosmic cataclysm was befalling the inhabitants upon the earth. And yet none of them repented and come to God. And so now we've entered into this place of the seventh seal. There is a lull between the sixth and seventh. And last week we saw that this lull that had taken place was to usher in a small respite. And in this respite, 144,000 Jews are going to have the seal placed upon their forehead so that they can once again evangelize Israel. In the meantime, the four winds of the planet are being held back by four angels. And we spoke of the devastation that was going on, about the intensity of the heat, how sound is not going to be able to travel. It is going to be so quiet, it screams to us that people will literally be driven insane by how quiet it is, because there's no movement of the air. The intensity of the sun, because the air is not moving, will be worse than having a magnifying glass used on an ant. The intensity will be that heavy upon mankind. And so what we do is we're now coming to a place where we recognize, and the title of this sermon is The Great Multitude. There is a great multitude that is here before the throne, but it is not all the multitude. It's not all the multitude. Because we come to find out that these are the saints that have come out of the tribulation. And again, I want to reiterate, we must jettison this mindset of I'm living to be raptured out of here. No, you're living to do a job, and we will be out of here when we accomplish our job. Amen? And these individuals did not believe the account of those believers who were witnessing to them that they must repent, they must come back to God before judgment begins. And these individuals did not believe. It does not specify who these people were. They could have been believers who were nominal. I believe in Jesus Christ, therefore I'm saved. But they never lived for Him. They never did anything for Him. They didn't make their lives count when it needed to be counted. And so they are the ones that have gone through tribulation. They have died in tribulation. And we will see that in some of these judgments later on, that there are going to be people who are going to want to die. But death will have fled from them. They will not be able to die. But these are ones that have died. They have finally seen that what we are trying to share with the world, the truth of this end, they have come to that realization that, you know what, I still can live for Jesus Christ, but I can't take the mark. I want the ownership of God upon me. I don't want the ownership of Satan upon me. And so these are those who are now standing before Christ and the Father. And they are dressed in white, which again speaks of purity. And they were cleansed by the blood. And we should be ones to reiterate to the world, there is no sin that God is not able to forgive and cleanse us from all its effects and unrighteousness. Not a sin. Murder, rape, pedophilia, theft, put whatever it's in there. These are only the effects of sin, but there is no sin too great that God cannot forgive and cleanse by the blood of the Lamb. There must be repentance, and we must forsake that sin, according to Proverbs 28. I think it's verse 13 that says, it's a wise man who does not cover his sin, but confesses it and forsakes it. We need to understand that destruction is coming upon the land, and that each and every one of us has a responsibility for God to lead people to him. That is our job. Jesus said, go and compel them to come. And as the days and weeks go forward, the message is going to become more resounding and more clear to us that it is not just my job, it's not just Nolan's or Karen's, it's all the church's responsibility to go and compel people to come to Jesus Christ. This is not to develop a liturgy or a ritualistic mindset. We are about restoring the relationship that was lost in the garden with the Creator, who loves us so dearly that I think sometimes we tend to forget that we have a message to share and that we believe the lie that the enemy says that nobody wants to hear what you got to say. And that is not true. That is not true. You have come to Jesus Christ. You have been born again of his Spirit. You have something that the world needs to hear. Whether they want to hear it or not is immaterial. And we should be bold about declaring his marvelous gift of salvation to them. We should. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is unto it is the power of salvation. How are people going to come to Jesus Christ if we do not share with them? We need to share with them with the goodness of God's forgiveness and all through the word, but also we must tell them the truth that you had the right to decide what's going on. This is what's coming for all those who refuse to receive. And God's desire is not for us to go through tribulation, but there are going to be a multitude of people worldwide that will choose not to believe the message. And they will see that what we have shared is true. But what happens to those who aren't there that are sharing the message? We know that all heaven is there because it says all the angels are there. We know the 24 elders are there. We know the four living creatures are there. And now we know that there is such a vast multitude that is going to be there through tribulation. They have died in tribulation for being faithful witnesses. Faithful witnesses of God's great gift of salvation. And let's face it. In America, our idea of persecution is someone calling us names, or they don't include us in reindeer games. You know, we're just not part of the system any longer. But you have to understand, when you come to Jesus Christ, you are called out of that into his marvelous light. You are a new creation. And I believe that sometimes what we do is we forget who we are. All power and might and majesty, God's fullness, his triunity is within us. We have nothing to fear. So we should be freely declaring that which what God has said to us. And when we do declare those things, whether they spit upon us, whether they try to stone us, whether they try to kill us, it doesn't matter. Because all that matters is his message being proclaimed so that the world will hear. And the world must hear before he comes. And these saints did not believe the message at the time that the church was declaring it. You and I have already been accepted in Jesus Christ. There is nothing we can do to earn his salvation or favor. There is nothing that we need to add to it except walk in obedience to what he has told us to do. That is it. And because of it, we grow and we mature. Our faith is grown and we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, because we are maturing. And the idea of the church is to be radical. The world will not love us because we are His. And they hated Him and they killed Him. So they will do with us. And we must consign ourselves to that possibility. Or we freely declare it and know that we may lose everything of substance in this world. Are you willing to declare the gospel in spite of losing your job? Are you willing to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ in losing your home? Are you willing to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ if you're destitute, have no means to you? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. We there? Give it to you. Starting in verse 22. Paul says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. 1 was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the church. Is that your concern? Is that your concern? Is your concern for what God deems important, or is your concern what you deem important? And that's a question I can't answer for you. I know that I've had guns pointed at my face, and I've watched the hammer go back and the barrel change, and I've seen that shell there, and that bullet did not come out. I know God's able to stop everything. But am I willing to give Him everything? You see, my Christianity may not be your Christianity. My Christianity is going to cost me my very life. I am not afraid to die because I know in whom I believe in. I know that if I die as a martyr, that I will be, the moment I leave this body, I will be in the presence of God. I am so confident in that He will preserve me. I have suffered loss. I have suffered things that I care not to say, but understand I have willingly suffered these things because nothing consumes me more than God's will being done. And part of God's will being done is to build streams. Does that consume you? You see, it should consume you. You see, because you're not here just to sit in the pew. You're here to get a mandate from God and go and compel them to come. Your job is to go and disciple people, make disciples of the nations. That's your job. And mine also. On top of that, my job is to train you to do the works of service. giving you the nuances or the building blocks in how to serve, even when people are not worthy to be served, but we serve as unto God Himself. To love the unlovable, even when they hate us. To do the right thing no matter what. And sometimes love is meaning to withdraw and allow that person to suffer on their own for a season, only to bring them back to God and help them see how gracious He is, because they are still in the world. And His call upon your life and mine is without repentance. He sees good things in your life and in my life. And these tribulation saints that are here understood too late. They had to go into tribulation. And they willingly died. They willingly understood that it's going to cost them everything that they are and everything that they have. That's why when you look at Acts and you see in the Acts that when the governments were coming in and taking their belongings from them, they rejoiced. Why? Because they no longer had to be concerned about that stuff. All they had to do is be concerned about how can I reach my neighbors for Jesus Christ? What opportunity can I do? Oh, there's a new neighbor? Guess what? I could bake a cake and go over there and welcome into the community and tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about what God's doing with streams. Tell them the big vision that God is going. I don't know the vision, Pastor. Well, then you need to sit down and listen to us. Streams has a tremendous vision, and we are beginning to see God move in these things. And it is not happening because we're just waiting for God to do it. It's happening because we're moving in unison with God to see these things come to pass. And Paul counted it all because he was concerned for the churches. Everywhere he went, he planted churches. He built relationships. He did not take from the churches. He gave and poured out his life to them. And look at chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You see, we got this messed up. We think we need to be built up and strong in Jesus Christ. No! We glory in our weaknesses. We will, in spite of how weak we are, we still carry on. Even though they're insulting us, we still carry on. Even though they're beating us, we still carry on. Even though they're persecuting us, stealing the things from us, doing whatever. You know what? We rejoice in God. We rejoice in God. We take our hands off. We're not longer owners. We're stewards of the things that God has said. Back to Revelations. This group of people were waving palm branches in the air. And these palm branches symbolizes the great joy of the triumph victory that Christ has won for them. And they're waving these palm branches like the wave offering of the sheaves of the harvest before the Lord. You see, there is going to be one more great move of God, which has already started in the world. There is going to be one more great harvest before the church is called out of here. But this great harvest is not going to be as great as people think, because only a remnant is going to come out of that that's going to make it to heaven. Some of these people are going to fall away because of unbelief. They're not going to believe the message. They're not going to believe the watered-down gospel that they're given. They're not going to believe the health, wealth, and prosperity message that is so pervasive through the body of Christ. They're not going to believe it, because they don't see the sacrifice of love being demonstrated before them. But they will believe once they enter into tribulation. Jesus said to us, I leave you my peace, not as the world leaves you. Because in the world you will have tribulation. He promises us tribulation. And that word tribulation means discomfort, disjointedness, unacceptedness. It's a very general word in it. But this tribulation, this worldwide tribulation that's coming on, we're not going to go through that if we do what he tells us to do. And that is go and preach the gospel. And that doesn't mean that I live my life and then I speak. That's wrong theology. You speak and live your life simultaneously. That's proper theology. Jesus said, go and compel them to come. I don't see anywhere in there that I have to live my life before them. I just go and tell them. As I go, my life is becoming right because he is working in my life. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't know the Bible. I don't either. I know the one who wrote it. That's all I need to know. Well, Pastor, I can't speak like you. Well, then grab another brother and a sister and go, just like Aaron did with Moses. And learn how to convey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, your excuses are biting in that apple of lies. And God has endowed you with power. Throw that apple away and do it. And just watch and see what God's going to do. You don't have to have your theology straight. You don't have to know the 12 reasons to come to God. You don't need to know every biblical doctrine that there is. All you need to know is Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Put your hand up. Then you need to go. Those of you who don't know him, you need to get saved. That's the blunt of it. If you don't know in whom you believe, then you don't have any faith. But Pastor, I've been going to youth group for so long and all. It isn't the youth leader's responsibility to teach you. It's your responsibility to take what he gives you and expand upon that by spending time with the master. I sat in a church one day, and I had a lady say to me, I'm leaving this church because this pastor isn't feeding me. Mature woman in God. Heck of a prayer warrior, whole nine yards. And I raised my hand, and she says, yeah. I said, since when was it that he had to spoon feed you? You're mature enough to take the fork and start digging into it and feeding yourself. Got all upset with me. And the pastor's over there like dumbfounded, like, you know, how can you speak to someone like that? Because I don't have an agenda. My agenda is to spark your hearts in such a way that you come to a realization that all you need is to know him. How are you going to know him? By spending time in his word, prayer, talking with him. I walk with him and talk with him through life's most various ways. Remember that little song we used to sing in campfires and stuff? Well, I'm just too busy to... You're going to be busy, all right. You're going to be busy in tribulation. You're going to see your world come crashing down. And then you're going to believe. I don't want to believe at that. I want to believe now. And I do believe. And I want you to believe now. I want you to understand that you don't need anything. You got everything. You just need to let it out. Didn't the master say, in that time when you're brought before magistrates and prisoners and all this other stuff, take no thought of what you'll say, because what you will say, it will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. That means I got to open my mouth. I got to start verbalizing something and the Holy Spirit will take over. You see, we make it too complicated. This thing of evangelism is not some sort of that we do it on Saturdays, the first Saturday of every month. Evangelism is every day. Every day you need to plan and purpose to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Every day you need to invite them to come. Every day you need to compel them with the Word of God. And as you understand the Word of God, you know, God will use you to the depth of your understanding. Do not be extra biblical. Do not say things that you're not sure of. Stay in truth. And if you messed up, repent. Get it under the blood and move on. I mean, it's really simple, this theology that God has given to us. And my job is to set you free to do this. We need to tell them that God loves them. That He died for them. As He died for us. And that all my sins are forgiven. Every sin that I've ever committed. Every sin that I will ever commit. As long as I repent of it and get it under the blood, I am secure in Jesus Christ. I don't take it for granted. My faith is alive because I know Him who has died and is alive forevermore. I can say unequivocally, I know in who takes possession of me. I know Him. And He is not an ogre. He loves to the nth. The eternal love. And He has given us His love story to each and every one of us. You have a Bible, that's His love story to you. Take out the person's name and put your name in there. I, Paul, a servant, called to be an apostle. No, I, Amber, a servant, called to be. I, Nolan, servant of God. I, Dan, a servant of God. Take those scriptures, take the people's names out, put your name in there, and then you will be still speaking truth. Because that's what our Father says you are. Well, I can't believe that, Pastor, that God would call me to go and preach to the nations. Well, hypothetically, let's see this. A year ago I said that I believed that God was going to send at least one to the nations this year. Well, I'm wrong. God's going to send two to the nations this year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd rather be wrong on the minus side than over-prophesy. God is able to do abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. We just need to be set in motion. But I don't feel like it. It's not about your feelings. It's about obedience. I just couldn't get out of bed. You're slothful. Repent. Get out of bed. I just don't feel like praying because, you know, God has not stirred in my heart. My Bible tells me that John, on the Lord's day, began to prime his spirit in a time of prayer, and the Holy Spirit pushed him into the heavenlies, of which we have revelation. But he may not have felt like it that day to sit there before the Lord. I praise God He didn't give in to His feelings because He has given us what the end is all about. Church, tell them that Christ has paid it all. There's nothing we have to add to it. All we need to do is repent. Lead them into repentance. How do you do that? Tell them that they're sinners, that they're rebellious scum. Tell them the truth. They're idiots, retards, whatever you want to call them. And God will set you right if you commit your ways unto Him. Well, I'll try it. You know, you don't try Jesus. It's not like a suit. You don't put Him on. Ah, it doesn't fit right. You either commit it to Him or you're not. That's all there is to it. To be radical in these days, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost your friends. It's going to cost your family members. It's going to cost you your job. It's going to cost you your home. It's going to cost you whatever. It cost Job everything. And in the end, God gave him a double portion and restored everything to him. That's my God. That's the God I serve. And teaching in finances, telling people I live on 70%, and I lied, 60-some percent. I haven't got the exact numbers. And God is meeting our needs. He's taking care of us. He's doing those things. Why? Because it doesn't matter the stuff I have. All that matters is it streams, it's doing what God has called us to do, and that we go and win the loss. We bring them in. And the only way we're going to do that is if you get on the same program as the Spirit of God. I don't want to see you go through tribulation. I don't want to see your family members go through tribulation. I don't want to see them go to hell. And neither does God. God has made a way before the end comes that all men come to repentance. He loves mankind tremendously. And he demonstrated that yet while we were sinners, Christ went to the cross and paid the crime of our punishment for us. But that was 2,000 years ago, and that was just a story. I don't care what you want to believe. The facts of the matter is, historically, it is documented that this man Jesus went to the cross and died. That there was a tremendous earthquake and dead people walked out of the graves. It is a historical fact. The centurion stood there, and when the clouds come over and thunder and lightnings come, he said, "This is the Son of God." A Gentile realizing that this is God. And we're still trying to figure out if I'm going to share this message with somebody. Share it. Believe me, they want to hear it. They want to hear the truth. They want to be a part of something greater than themselves. Don't you? Don't you deserve, let me ask you this, don't you deserve to see your family and friends, as much as they may be at odds with each other, don't you deserve to see them in heaven for all eternity? Not just see them in heaven to go to the lake of fire? God says you are worthy. You, plural, you, humankind, are worthy. You were duped and deceived when you were young and tender, but I have come to give you life. Tell them. Tell them what you know. Tell them who you know. Tell them to come. Tell them to be a part of the greatest thing that is ever going to happen upon this earth, that the establishment of God's heavenly kingdom upon earth, and that your reward for doing this is to rule and reign with him 1,000 years, and then to rule and reign over cities. What an awesome, awesome gift that he's given to us. You are destined for this. This is your destiny I'm talking about, yours and mine. Do not settle for something less. Do not settle for just the pittance of what the world has to give you. They use you up, and when they're tired of you, they throw you away. God will never throw you away. He never tires of you. His thoughts to you are endlessly of good things for all eternity. There is a multitude, and we will see when the multitudes, when all the saints come together and rejoicing in God, rejoicing in his power and his might and his majesty and his wisdom and his glory. God thought about this before the foundations. He thought about it, and then he planned it, and then he carried it out. Tell them that God loved them even before they were born. Tell them. And just see what happens. Amen? Father, I have given them your word, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you cause this word to find good soil in their hearts and they step out in faith and purpose to win one, lead one, and bring one this week, God, to you. God, I pray that you not leave our spirits settled, that we would become uncomfortable in being idle, God. But until we do those things that you tell us, God, you cause us to have a holy discomfort, a tribulation like we've not experienced before, God. God, how good and precious are your promises, God. How good and precious are those things, but you want the world to experience it, God. And you told us that we would have tribulation, but also the promise of be of good cheer. You have overcome the world, which is a victory in faith in Jesus Christ. God, use streams for your glory, God. Use streams to defeat the dark angels. Use streams to pull down the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Use streams as a sword to cut away the junk, God, to set the captives free, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to heal the brokenhearted, God, to open the prison gates, to push down the valleys, Lord God, push down the mountains and fill in the valleys, God, so that everybody's walk would be unencumbered, Lord. That, God, we would have songs of praise upon our lips and exaltation as we share the good news of our salvation with others, God. Let us be lions from this day forward, God, and not be satisfied in being mealy-mouthed, Lord God, or pretentious. Let us come to know who you are in spirit and in truth, Father. As we go forth this day, God, and every day from this moment forward, God, may we be a people of purpose, of winning the unchurched and unsaved. God, may your house be filled and may you receive all praise and glory for your gift of salvation and the plan of it, Lord. May the Lamb be blessed forever and ever, God, who cleanses us with his own blood from every spot and stain of unrighteousness, that we too, God, may be able to stand in that day praising and exalting your name forever and ever, God, in Jesus' name, amen.